Adam, I understand the story of Kalamazoo Candle Company begins in October 2013 with one box of wax and one man. Were you that man?
I was, yeah. Kalamazoo Candle Company, I think is, I like to refer to it as it's a happy accident for me. I didn't intend to really start a candle company, but it's something I've really grown passionate about over these years. And it's been a really, really fun ride so far.
So this was a happy accident. Do explain. How does that happen?
Well, I was actually looking to start a different business with a friend of mine, and they had a bit more money to put into it than I did. And I, like a lot of people that, think they, if you want to make some extra money, you just type it into a search engine. How can I make some extra money? And, things I can sell to make some extra money. I found a website that listed 100 things you can make, and I clicked on 4 or 5 of them. Candles happened to be one. And really quickly, reading through the how-to of candle making, it seemed really fascinating to me. And I found myself reading about it all weekend long. And I think it was partly just due to my own background. My degrees are actually in music. I have a bachelor's of music education and a master's of music performance. The master's from Western Michigan University. And so anybody that's in music, or I think a lot of sports or many other things, what the public sees of your work is really only about 1% or so of your actual time as a musician. The other 99% or whatever it is in a practice room by yourself. It's in an ensemble practicing. It's, in any number of ways, just getting better at your craft. And that is, even though I'm not really a musician really much anymore, that's part of the process that is just ingrained in me, is just the love of getting better at something. And I happen to be able to find that in candles. And so after I made my first terrible batch of candles, I just fell in love with the process and kept making them, gave them to a few friends that liked them. And then, like you said, in October 6th of 2013, Handmade Kalamazoo here in Kalamazoo, when they were still around, agreed to take my candles. So, and then that same day, a customer of theirs bought a candle. So that's the day we kind of claim as our birthday, October 6th of 2013.
I was wondering about your background, what you were before you were a candle maker. I imagine you must have music piped into the room, though, when you're making your candles.
Definitely those first couple of years, when it was just me in a room. The first commercial batch was actually made in a bedroom that I was renting in a guy's house in the Millwood neighborhood. He would ask, "What are you doing in there?" I was like, "Oh, it's not important."
That's just great. You're a Renaissance man.
Well, it's fun. And I think it's a lot of fun being able to spread the joy that is Kalamazoo. I'm not from here originally. Came here for grad school and just fell in love with this town. And I was really happy to be able to make it my home, after graduating from Western, working in the nonprofit community in various places and capacities. And now as a company named after the town we're in, I really couldn't think of anything better.
Where are you originally from?
For the most part, Northeast Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a big move. Happy to have you in Kalamazoo. So since 2013, tell us about your growth. You're kind of all over the place now, aren't you?
We are. We've been really fortunate. That first Christmas season, selling the candles out of the Park Trade Center downtown, people just kept telling me that they are buying the candles and they're going to ship them all, to their friends as gifts. And sadly enough, at the moment, I was a little bit disappointed and a little offended as like, why aren't you keeping it for yourself? Is it not good enough for you to keep? You don't want one? but obviously that was silly of me. And I really, it's really, really appreciative of the fact that people thought they were good enough that they could share as gifts and, being named after the town. And, when we started, and they still have them on there, the original candles I started with were these little tin candles that each one had a different historic photo of Kalamazoo on it. It's something I love doing and showing off the history of Kalamazoo with those and keeping that going. But as we've expanded expanded. We've added more product lines and obviously expanded around the country. I know we're over 1,000 locations around the country in about 35 states, two regions of Whole Foods stores, which is exciting.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of interesting, getting into Whole Foods. And it goes back to my first summer at the farmer's market in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor and I would trade candles for bacon and eggs with him every Saturday we were
at the
market. And got to know his family a little bit, chit-chatted, obviously, as you do, because, you know, some hours are slower than others at the farmer's market. And a couple of years go by, and his son and his wife come by my booth, and they're chatting. And his son is like, hey, if you're ever interested in getting your candles in my, you know, the store, just let me know. And he handed me his card, and he's the assistant manager at Whole Foods in Mishawaka, Indiana. And you just never know how things are going to work out. And so after about 8 months of working with them, we got into the Midwest region of Whole Foods, and then a couple of years later, the Northeast region, and just kind of go from there.
I'm wondering, too, because I've been a big candle burner, at least before I moved into a house with a wood stove. And then at some point, I started hearing that candles are not the best thing to burn, carcinogens and whatnot. You've taken some extra steps to make your candles with natural type of materials. So talk about what makes your candles unique and safe.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of candles out there. Some of the more prevalent ones would be beeswax candles, you know, just made from beeswax. Those are actually, for a long-lasting candle, that's the best option out there. They last really longer than any other kind of candle.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, they don't hold scent very well. And then you could make the argument of, is that what you want to use bees for or anything like that? But that's for other people. Side. Then the two major ones these days is a paraffin candle and a soy candle.
Mm-hmm.
Paraffin is a byproduct of petroleum. So whenever they make gas and other things, there's this extra stuff, and they've found a way to turn that into wax for candles and various other things. So when you buy a candle that's not soy, it's usually got paraffin in it. We use soy candles, and even soy candles, if you see a candle that just calls itself a soy candle, there's no guarantee that it's 100% soy. Candles are really unregulated. So as long as you're kind of, you know, you have that thing in there, you can call it whatever you want. So if you see a soy blend candle or a soy candle, I would question whether or not it actually has 100% soy, because they could have added some paraffin in there to make it look better. Because one of the great benefits of the paraffin candles is that the sturdier wax that makes it look better on the shelf for longer. Whereas a soy candle has a bit more natural and organic kind of look to it. It doesn't look perfect. There are just things about it that look not like, you know, most customers are trained to look for a product or store buyers and things. So we have to do a lot of education on our candles as to why certain things are actually okay. Like, there's a gap between the wax and the jar that you can see. That doesn't mean we shorted you wax, because we do everything by weight. It just means that the glass and the wax heat and cool at different rates, and they pulled apart a little bit. We could add something to the candle to fix that, but we choose to make things as natural as we can. And so we don't add that in there. You know, like any art, you know, you're really defined a lot of times by the materials you use and the conscious decisions that go into that art. And, you know, candle making is a craft. And so we were really conscious of what we put in there. So not just the wax, which we think soy is the best one, not only from a natural sustainability standpoint, but they also have better throw of fragrance. They fill a room better. They hold more fragrance. There's just all kinds of better things about it. I mean, even our wick, we don't use any metal in our wick. Lead is out. You can't use lead in really anything. And so lead wicks don't really exist anymore. But there are still companies, some pretty big ones, that use metal in their wicks to help burn the candle faster. So there's a really interesting test that I did. I bought a candle from a store here in town, a big box store. 21-ounce candle I bought for about the same price as our 10-ounce candle, and ours lasted longer.
Oh, nice.
So our candle being half the size of theirs, and it lasted longer. You know, you look at the size and you look at the price, and you think you're getting a bargain, but you're not.
Interesting to know, yeah.
Faster.
Well, and I see on your website, too, you provide some hints on how to make your candle last longer. Some of these were new to me. Very interesting. So talk about how to get the most out of your candle.
Yeah, so it seems obvious, but a lot of people, like you said, they don't really think about it. When you burn a candle, it's not the flame that's letting out the fragrance. It's the melted wax on the top layer of the candle. So really, once your candle has a full melt pool on the top, that's what we call the melted wax, a full melt pool, it's really okay to put out the flame because the wax will remain melted for a while, and it'll still be putting out that fragrance. So that's one way to get it to last longer. Otherwise, you definitely always want to trim the wick. You know, that's always best practice on candles. It keeps it from smoking. It keeps it from doing a lot of other bad things. But we also recommend dipping a wick into the melted wax when you're putting it out instead of blowing it out. There's a safety thing because when you blow out a candle out, that flame and any hot pieces of the wick could go anywhere. And you're also then filling up the room with smoke from the candle. And you just spend a lot of hours burning a candle to make it smell good in there. And so we sell wick dippers, but I always say, you know, an old butter knife will do just fine. And you know, along that same line, you know, the fragrance matters too. Maybe not so much in the burn time itself, but what you're breathing in, because anything you burn, you're inhaling.
Right.
And so we've gone out of the way to use ingredients in our fragrance oil. Actually, we remove ingredients from the fragrance oil that a lot of other places use to get as natural as we can. Removing anything on California Prop 65, which is a list of ingredients thought to cause birth defects and cancers. Same with European Union's REACH. We don't use anything that's on those lists. Our candles are even vegan, just to take that extra step. Not that everybody wants the vegan candle. Most people, you know, just want a candle that performs well and is not going to harm them. But those people that are vegan and want to buy products like that, we wanted to be accommodating and not take away anything from the performance of it. So we've accomplished that. And so I think if you put a product out there, especially one that represents a city like I hope we do, there's got to be a lot of thought that goes into it. And we could sell a cheaper product and find a market for that, but it's not something we're going to do or have ever done.
So how do you develop your fragrances? Do you have a team with great noses, or how do you go about that part of it?
That's kind of the fun and challenging part of candles is the fragrance because everybody has requests. We get a lot of requests for scents that we should try, but my approach has always been to give people something new. And I guess that's probably the creative person in me, that musician of I want to put my own take on something. I think when somebody asks me for a particular fragrance, it's only really because that's the fragrance that they've experienced before, and that's the one they know that they like. But I want to be able to offer people something new that they will grow to love. And so I take a lot of ideas from what other candle companies are doing or what we, and I do listen to the requests, and we do consider them a lot, but we just kind of give it our own take. So we introduced last year our lavender candle. A lot of people would expect it to be a sweeter, brighter scent because that's what a lot of candle companies do. We kind of made it a little earthier. We spiced it up a little bit more, and it is one of our top five fragrances, but it's nothing like any other lavender out there. And so the process is really, you know, it's back and forth between me and we work with a fragrance house here in the United States who makes our fragrances for us. They have a staff of 9 professional perfumists.
Okay.
They give me a lot of ideas, but by and large, we basically ignore them. because I have a feeling that whatever they probably are recommending to me, they're probably recommending to some other folks. And so I go to them with ideas, and then they kind of really develop them. And then if I say, well, I want this note of this fragrance to be a little bit more, a little bit less, they go back and forth, and we tweak it over some time. And one of the unfortunate things is just because our process is so long, we do get requests for custom fragrances for things, and we can do it. It's just it takes 3 to 9 months to come up with a new fragrance. Whenever somebody whenever they make that request, they're usually thinking of a project that they want to do like right now, and it's just not something that happens that fast, unfortunately.
And you take a lot of pride, it appears, in it being a hands-on process. How many people do you have doing this? And this is something I understand you do from beginning to end of creating a candle.
Yeah, you know, we have about currently right now we have 16 people on staff. We're bringing on another 8 or so in the next few months. But Our production team's pretty lean and mean. We know what we're doing. We have a really great process for it. We have about five people actually on the production line, and we have two people in shipping. But every single part of our process is still touched by hand. Like everything is done with a human being doing it. Mm. And we take a lot of pride in that. And when we get brand new people that start with us, they start on the easier tasks. And then we just slowly graduate them to more and more complicated things. You know, the first thing you have to learn really is just setting up a tray for us to pour in, which, you know, is pretty easy, but it's a highly repetitive kind of thing. And then you graduate to putting labels on. A lot of people might assume just from the consistency of our labels that it's a machine that puts them on, but it's a human. Like all of our labels are put on by a person. And if you looked at them in a store, they're precise. Like, it is impressive what my staff are able to do. And that's something that I hope we keep forever. You know, I'm more inclined to always just hire more people than buy a machine. I would rather employ 100 people in Kalamazoo than pay some company wherever they might be to replace 20 of my staff by buying a giant conveyor or something. That's way more rewarding.
Nice. And then I understand, although how you do that may have changed now during the COVID pandemic, but that you also normally offer the ability for customers to come in and make their own candles?
Yeah, I think that's counterintuitive to a lot of people because we're a candle company. Why would we train people to be our competitor? But I always say, you know, making a candle is really not that hard. Making a good candle is a bit more complicated. We love teaching our craft. We love showing other people the joy in creating their own candle. And most of them are really good. They come out of it. But I can't imagine most people really want to start their own candle company after doing that in our candle making area. But yeah, it's fun. We do actually during the COVID shutdown, during last year in 2020 when COVID was happening, we were able to expand a little bit more in our retail store in downtown Kalamazoo. We added a private event room for candle making. So once those capacity limits come back up and things are a bit safer, we're going to be able to do private events at our store as well as our normal walk-in candle making. We're expanding the number of fragrances that we're offering at our candle making area. So you can really combine a lot of different things and create a truly unique gift. During the holiday season, we have a lot of people that come in and make their own gifts for their parents, for their aunts and uncles, for their teachers. It's a really kind of a fun experience just seeing people make their own candles there. And we even actually launched during COVID because we knew a lot of people were at home, our own DIY kit. Mm. So it's a cardboard paper tube that you can get on our website and on our in our store at Marketplace. But it comes with enough stuff to make two candles. And we have instructions on our website. We walk people through. It's nice and safe. And it's just fun to find another way to be able to share our love of our craft with our customers.
You offer a lot of different type of, shall I call them, series types of candles that people can purchase. I was looking at the Collegiate Collection, and here's my suggestion, Adam. You're missing Kalamazoo College in that line.
we get that request a bit, and we're definitely, it's on the list of things to do.
Although I don't know what scent you would associate with Hornets, their mascot.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Honey would be the closest I could think of, even though it's not really a hornet. But so with our Collegiate Collection, we do use one of our most popular scents, and that's Obsidian. And we do that because it's beloved by everyone, and it's the safest approach. We do get a lot of jokes of Western ones smelling like various things, and people that are state fans make fun of the Michigan one, and
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's fun, but you know, we started with the Western Michigan University one after, it's interesting, after the 2016 football season. During that, and our team went to the Cotton Bowl, we actually came up with a 13 and row candle. If you remember, there was a row the boat theme back then.
Yeah, yeah.
13 in a row candle. We sold 2,000 of those in a week and a half.
Wow. Nice.
And it was quite the experience for back then, this tiny little company that was in a 700 square foot room.
Yeah.
We had to stop sales because we just couldn't keep up with stuff. We probably could have sold more of them. But after seeing that kind of demand for Western things, we decided to license the Western Western logo. And as we've expanded more throughout Michigan, we added the Michigan and Michigan State. And our hope is, like you suggested, you know, having a K college, KVCC for that matter, and really expanding throughout the region, the more we can. There's always costs associated with those things. So we do have to be careful as we increase them. But it is fun, especially during the holidays when people are buying gifts for people. It's a really nice thing for them to be able to add.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Adam, for telling us about a local business. I mean, now that people are thinking more about shopping local, you're a great place to go. So thank you for telling us about what you do there and why and how. And thanks.
Thank you, Vincent. I appreciate it.